All right, well, I will call this meeting to order. This is the Zone 3 Advisory Committee. It is July 15th and it is 6:36 PM. I'm going to go ahead and call roll. So let's see, Kristen, member Kristen, or actually your alternates here, Karen Ray Russum.
Present.
Grover Beach, Anna Miller. Pismo Beach, Scott Newton. Oceano, Shirley Gibson.
Here.
CSA 12, Brad Hagman.
Present.
Ag member, Bart Akeda.
Here.
At-large member, Ron Riley.
Here.
All right, next item of business is there any public comment? I'm guessing no, since there's only 7 people on the call and we're all accounted for. Moving to the next item, we have officer rotations. So as of our next advisory committee meeting, the committee chair will be rotating from the City of Grover Beach representative to the City of Pismo Beach representative. And the vice chair will be rotating from City of Pismo Beach to Oceano. So at our next meeting, Scott Newton should be chair and Shirley, you will be vice chair.
Correct. I can't wait.
Do you need a motion to that effect?
Well, I would imagine so. So does someone want to?
So moved. After public comment.
I'll second.
Okay. All right. Approved for the officer rotations. All right. Next item is the approval of the meeting minutes. Before we put a motion to approve that, I needed to make a clarification on the meeting minutes. We had for the call to order and roll call at the last meeting, the members in that were in participation were Ron Riley, Bart Akeda, Kristen Barnich, and Shirley Gibson. And not at that meeting that was not present was Karen Bright, Brian Talley, and Brad Hagaman. So we will update those minutes as soon as this meeting's over. So any other comment on the meeting minutes, sorry. All right, motion to approve.
I make a motion to approve the minutes as amended.
All right.
Second.
Second.
Great. So be it approved as amended. Right. Do I have this was the meeting minutes. All right, here's our current Lopez Reservoir storage projection. I know Jenny will, do you want to go ahead and just give the updates so we can know where we're sitting currently?
Sure. So tonight, the numbers are as follows. The lake elevation is at 473.88. Storage is 16,980 acre feet. Capacity is currently at 34%. There is zero rainfall to date. Plant production currently is at 2.47 MGD. State water production is at 3.23 MGD. And downstream release is at 3.15 MGD. Any questions? Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Jenny. All right, anybody have any questions on the water storage projection? I know a hot topic at the TAC was everyone's curious of when we're going to hit that 15,000 acre foot mark. So as you can see from here, it'll be October. I will send a revised May and June monthly operations report. We found out that our database is having some problems. We've got it corrected at the moment. We have already circulated the monthly operations May and June to the TAC members, and I will follow it up with an email to the advisory committee members as well.
Hey, David.
Yep.
We were at the TAC. Everyone was interested in that 15,000 because I think that's another trigger or something, isn't it?
That is correct for the low reservoir response plan. Yeah.
Oh, I think you're going to talk about that later, though, right?
Yeah, we are. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Yep. And actually, right on cue there, Bart, that is the next item on the agenda. So I hope your guys' TAC members had a chance to speak to you about this. We are taking this item to the board to approve policies and procedures set forth in the low reservoir response plan as we did back in 2014. This is the current board letter that we have prepared to take it to the board. I'll be asking for your endorsement to approve me taking this to the board this evening, and I'll pretty much just open up to questions for you guys. The only comment that we got at the TAC was in this board item, we speak of the current minimum pool. And it was brought to my attention that it should be somewhere around 1,700 acre feet. And per this document, it was set at 4,000 acre feet. And that's an old old data based on the Davis-Gronsky Act and the recreation side of the reservoir, which we don't have to abide by anymore. So I'll be revising that section to say that the minimum pool is 1,700 acre feet. So I'll open that up to any questions you guys have.
David, I have one really minor potential addition. I actually spoke to Jim Gehring about this. So, and he brought up the minimum pool. And then one thing he forgot, and he sent me some documents that I can share with you if you don't have these, but the minimum release, let's see. Yeah. It says we must release at least inflow to the reservoir during July, August, and September for the original water rights permit for the Lopez Dam and water supply system.
Right.
So it's not very much water. We don't expect a lot of rain during that time, but I guess it's worth mentioning.
Yeah, no, and currently, so I don't know how familiar you are with the IDRIS, which is our interim downstream release schedule. We worked with, I think it was Vard and Brian on the releases that they may need downstream, as well as looked at, our environmental release. And so currently, we're doing multiple studies in the creek. So we're looking at downstream release and how it affects groundwater wells, but also habitat downstream. So we have Stillwater doing the habitat studies, and there's Cleve Harris doing the groundwater and well studies. So currently in those next few months, we're actually increasing flows and stepping them up. I know on a kind of like an issue with the public maybe seeing those releases increasing, but it's right in line with how we would normally release. So we didn't, even though the consultants were asking for these releases, we didn't feel that it was anything out of the ordinary. And it's kind of in line with what we would normally do anyways. So so as far as reductions to the downstream release, we aren't really reducing that at this time. So, and I know per the LRP, a trigger is to reduce to the 3,800 acre feet released per year, which, if you know, we can use up to 4,200 acre feet, and if you track what we normally release every year, we're usually under that 4,200 acre feet. But based on our ongoing examination of the creek at multiple locations, we're meeting those environmental releases, and we're not stranding any fish or anything like that. So environmentally, we're meeting our requirement. So
very good. And then has the board already, have they declared a drought emergency yet, or are they planning to?
They did. On July 13th, they declared a drought emergency.
Okay.
Which piggybacked the governor coming out and declaring the drought emergency for our county previous to that. So.
Perfect.
Yep. So anybody else have any other questions on the LRP? We're not, just for everyone's clarification, we're not trying to do anything that we haven't done in the past. If you read through this, it was pretty much, I'd hate to say cut and paste, but it's pretty much right in line with what we did back in 2014. So.
Hey, David.
Yep.
This LRP seems like in the past when the dam has gone low, it's got kind of drastic, and things like, you know, seawater, you know, like using Diablo for cleaning the seawater, you know, and then the whole terminology behind it, but all that kind of stuff. Is there anything out there right now that's, or are we waiting until it gets to be a total emergency?
You know, I haven't heard anything coming down the line about, you know, the desal plant at Diablo being connected. I know it was a study that they did in the past, and I don't know enough to comment about, you know, that study that was done, and I haven't heard anybody talking about potential inner ties to the system, with that respect. I know we do plan on making some improvements in CSA 12, hopefully, with our, I don't know about the other agencies, how the ARPA, federal funds are affecting, say, you know, like the cities, you know, but I know that, you know, the county got, you know, $56 million in ARPA funds. So we will be focusing our attention on our, you know, CSAs and county owned facilities and making improvements to those. For instance, in CSA 12, there's one of the tracks had already granted us easements for another water tank at the top of the hill. So we will be potentially installing a water tank, water storage tank, which I know doesn't really help with drought, but it does help with, you know, redundancy and extra, you know, storing extra water for emergency purposes. So that is the only project that I know is on the horizon. I think that it would come down to a dire emergency for the intertie with Diablo. So
okay. I probably should have brought it up during the public comment thing, but maybe it might be a good future topic for the TAC.
Yeah.
If anybody has anything creative that we can do, I mean, you can't really make more water, but it's better than now than when the lake gets down to, you know, next trigger and the next trigger, it's too late, you know.
Right.
So, Vard, there's a study that the Diablo decommissioning agency got a presentation on. I want to say it was about November, and I think it's pretty enlightening as to the costs and what makes it a little bit prohibitive, but that would be something worth taking a look at. Or the same people that gave that presentation could give a presentation to the TAC. That would be great. Anyway.
Yeah, that would be helpful. Right. We're going to be searching, I'm sure.
Right.
Yeah.
All right, thank you.
Yeah, well, from what I understand too, I remember seeing that report, the old one from the 90s, and from what I understand, the amount of water that their desal plant can produce, it was, any water is good water, I understand that, but I remember it being somewhere on the magnitude of like 1,200 to 1,500 acre feet in a year. So it wasn't, I don't think it was a ton of water. Obviously, any water would help, so.
Anything to diversify the portfolio, right?
100%.
Right. Well, all of that notwithstanding, I mean, if we're ready to make a motion, I would make a motion to, we're endorsing you bringing this to the Board of Supervisors.
Correct.
So, this is Karen Russom. I would second. I have a quick question just because I was taking notes and writing furiously. How much desal could that produce in acre feet per year? And again, forgive me for, I was writing too fast.
You know, I can, let me do this. I'll find the report that I have from the 90s and send it to you, but because I don't want to misspeak, but I recall it being somewhere in the magnitude of 1,200 to 1,500 acre feet.
That's good enough. Please don't take your staff time to do that. Thank you so much. My second stands.
Okay. All right. Motion approved for the endorsement of me taking this to the Board of Supervisors. And one small edit. I'm sorry, I should have done this before the approval, but it will go on August 24th, not the 10th, as this letter states. So. All right, next item then will be our capital projects update.
I think you need to take a vote, Dave.
Oh, is that what I, is that how it works?
Aye.
Yeah, all in favor?
Aye.
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 I think technically on a Zoom, you've got to do it by roll call, but this is Karen Russom, aye.
Okay.
Hi, this is Brad.
All right. And I have all your guys' profiles up, so I see that, yeah.
All, hey, I'm just at large. These formalities are formalities to me. I'm glad we have some experts here today. That's good.
I know, seriously, especially since I've never ran one of these ones.
You guys are rocking it. Don't worry.
You can only imagine people watching C-SPAN right now. Or slow span, sorry. Forgot how long this thing was. All right, I'll give you guys a quick update on the capital improvements, and then if you have any questions, you can ask when I'm finished. So the Tesla battery storage, there's no change as of now. They're working on the plans for how they would, where they would install them and how they would connect them. The spillway assessment and investigation, we're preparing a staff report for spill to DSOD. We currently have done the under drain investigation. We videoed it, then went out, pressure jetted it to clear some of the locations that we saw in the videos, and then we re-videoed it to see if we got some of those blockages out. We did clear some of the blockages. We also found a couple of locations where it looks like the underdrain system might be a little bit, it may be collapsed. Those locations seem to be very out towards the ends of the pipe, so it's not clear if the pipe collapsed or if it was just how they closed in the end of the pipe. So. And the locations weren't problematic. They were under the chute section, the OG section. They were buried under, you know, feet of concrete. So I don't see those areas as being problematic. But we are preparing a staff report to submit to DSOD showing, you know, saying what we saw and what our plan is to move forward with these locations. The geotechnical testing and seismic alternative study of the terminal reservoir, we have reviewed proposals, and we are in the process of selecting a vendor at this time. I don't know who that vendor is, what the status of that review is currently. The fault zone risk assessment, RISO was selected to complete that assessment, and it's already come out and done a field walk of the left abutment. Just a little history on that one. There was a concern of a kind of a landslide in that vicinity of our intake structure, because we've seen rocks keep falling down on the road in that area. RISO had done a preliminary assessment that showed that there is a large, very old landslide above the left abutment. So before we do any work or propose to do any work up on the left abutment, we wanted to have the TAC had advised that we do a risk assessment to see what is the risk if we, you know, don't do anything with it. So RISO will be preparing that assessment, and I could make available to you guys if you'd like when it's complete. The Lopez Water Treatment Plant safety upgrades, there's no change. We're still, it's surprisingly how hard it is to get some consultants out there to actually look at our system. We've had multiple consultants, but none have actually proposed on the project. The cathodic protection and repair project, we currently had a kickoff meeting this week with JDH, who is the consultant doing the work, and they will be getting back to us with a schedule of work and what they plan to do over the next couple of months. The equipment storage building, I believe at the last meeting, it was probably, we had selected a vendor. We actually had some issues with that vendor, and it's currently back out to bid. The CO2 injection system is currently out to bid, but we'll be closing soon. Probably by our next meeting, I'll have a vendor selected for that one as well. The unbudgeted items that we had on the list were the sludge bed curtain wall. We thought the price for pressure grouting was a little high, so we are currently looking at getting quotes to actually dig along the existing cutoff wall and then just backfill with like a slurry backfill, and seeing how that compares to the pressure grouting. And then the last but not least, since this agenda went out, there has been a change to the leak at the main dam outlet works. We have scheduled that work tentatively for the 19th. The pipeline will go off on the 19th and probably back on somewhere around the 22nd or the 23rd. With the amount of water that we can have in the terminal reservoir, we don't see any, any impact to deliveries during that time. With what we're delivering with state water and what the plant's producing, we don't anticipate any shortages in supply. Does anybody have any questions on the capital projects? All right. Well, this is a pretty quick one today. There are no action items that need subsequent board of supervisors, and no action items for the board of supervisors except for the LRRP that we talked about. But like I said, we were just looking for an endorsement. And on to the next item. Do you guys have any future agenda items you would like to see? I know, Varg, you brought up just drought resiliency, and I'll talk to my my deputies and things and see what's being done with the county as a whole just for drought resiliency, especially with Zone 3. I know that we're looking at some other areas like the Ops Center and our CSAs and things, but I'll see if there's any movement on anything in the Zone 3 area.
Yeah, DCEL might. You know, I just threw out the Abloh thing because it was a hot topic for a while, but I hate to just completely drop it since there's always new technology, you know, something that seems like it's just not cost effective all of a sudden they come up with some new technology, and we're back in the conversation again.
Right.
And I also had a question about the Central Coast Blue and how that, I know that haven't got an update last month from Ben, but how much water was that supposed to, was that all just water that was going to be put back into the groundwater? Maybe Brad might remember.
Yes, so it's treated water injected back into the ground. It has kind of two purposes. It obviously replenishes groundwater, but also helps form the curtain against the saltwater intrusion, seawater
yeah.
intrusion.
Yeah.
So not Farid, Farid, this is Karen Ray Russum. I'm happy to meet with you offline and talk to you a little bit about, more about that in the coming weeks. So that's certainly something that everyone's working towards, but we can discuss that outside this meeting. I'm happy to do that with you if you like.
Okay.
But yeah, Bard, would you like me to see if Dan Heimel would give another update at the next advisory committee?
On Central Coast Blue?
Yeah. Or do you think just meeting with Karen would suffice?
You know, he can give us a super quick one, and Ben's at every meeting. They can give us something super, super quick. I think funding was the big issue. So I think our TAC meetings are much more open, and people are willing to speak up more. Everybody knows each other so much more, you know. So don't worry about it for today.
Okay.
It's not hard information to get a hold of. I had Ben give the presentation to my Rotary group, so yeah. they love talking about it.
Yeah,
didn't have any problem.
Yeah. I would say, you can. I don't know. Maybe do we have a comment period? Are we in that comment period now, Dave?
Sure, we can move on to the comment.
Well, I know that Pismo, you know, really don't have a local paper anymore, but when I do, I get it online. So it was interesting because Pismo made a big deal that they were instituting some restrictions because of the drought. And I actually, at our TAC meeting, asked Shane about it. And he said that those same restrictions, Roy Grandy has them already in place, but they've been in place since the last drought. But I have been talking to my neighbors and some other people, and nobody remembers. I mean, I people can't remember a month ago, much less 2-3 years ago. So I would just recommend that cities, communities, Oceano, Grover, everybody should somehow remind their residents that those drought restrictions are still in place, if they are.
Yeah,
Karen Russell. You're absolutely right, Bard. We've had them in place all along, and we're trying hard to get the word out, but coming out of post-COVID, we're doing the best we can, but you're absolutely right that needs to be a loud and clear message, and we're working on it, and we need to do better. So thank you.
Yeah, like I said, it's a bummer because there's no local paper anymore. It used to be you could just have, you know, article in the paper would be great because everybody got the paper. First of all, we don't really have the local paper, and then what the paper we do have, people just don't get it anymore. So it's much more difficult nowadays. And I'm not a social media guy, so maybe if it's on social media, that would help also, I'm sure.
Yeah, on Facebook, I saw where Arroyo is paying cash for grass So I think Facebook can make a big difference.
That's absolutely true. It's starting to get some traction online, which is great, but Vard is absolutely right that if you're plugged into social media, you know what we're doing. And if you're not plugged into social media, it's really tough. So we need to do better in terms of working to get to people who even we used to be able to work through our water bills. And nowadays, most of that is online and they don't read the inserts anymore because you have to click on something totally different. Again, forgive my voice right now, but we're trying to figure out how best to get that word out, but doing the best we can. And any suggestions you all have for how to reach those people who are not on social media and who are digitally getting their bills? Any suggestions you have, please email me at crayrussum@everogrande.org, and I'm happy to try and work on that.
I know that the district is actually, we've updated all our like water-wise signs and stuff in our CSAs. So I don't know if the cities have the ability to, you know, anywhere they can put up signage. I'm sure you guys do, but I think some signs and stuff around town might help too. All right, well, if we have no other committee member comments, I can go ahead and adjourn this meeting. Did anybody else have any other comments? All right. Well, I'll call this meeting adjourned. It's 7:08 p.m. this evening, and I hope you guys all have a good night.
Hey, thanks, Dave.
Thanks, David.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good to see everyone.
Bye-bye.